We're going to draw our little circles again, just so you have the visual. All right? Can you see that?
Yes.
More or less. Okay, here's spirit, soul, and body. And body, that's this part. Everybody do this. You can't do that with any other part. Just that, just body. You know, we could... Look again, I'm not the... my gosh, it looks more like a chicken. Body, that's your arms and legs, praising the Lord, all right? Now, soul, there's a big... that's not no soul, but that is a division in your soul. The soul is your mind, your will, your emotions. It's the part of you that makes decisions and instructs your body and receives information. All right? Mind, will, and emotions. That's your soul. Now your soul has a part of you that is understanding what the world is, and a part of you that understands what the Spirit of God is, what living in the kingdom of heaven is. Now that part is that part of you that's in, I'll call it in heaven. In heaven comes from the Spirit. And the part of you that is on earth comes more or less from your experience. All right? Comes more or less from your experience on the earth. Now, your spirit is born again. Or your spirit is born again, and then your mind, will, and emotions begin to be affected by the Spirit of God or the Holy Spirit. So that one part of your soul begins to be transformed. We'd read about that in Romans chapter 12, is that you become transformed rather than conformed. There's two ways to live in this world. Conformed to this world, that is, shaped as if you had a ball, and you had something flexible that you would conform it to the shape of that ball or that sphere. Something is conformed. So you become conformed to this world as you live your life out. Your body kind of gets up, goes out, goes around. It's in the dark. Well, it learns how to flip on the light. It's dirty and smelly, and it learns how to take a bath. You know, it's encouraged to do that by your social surroundings. We learn how to operate in this world. When somebody beats you up, you beat them up. So your body kind of determines how your mind is going to respond. But again, you have two parts. You have that part that's on earth, that's of your soul, that's living in experience, and the part of your soul that is living according to the revealed Word of God. That revealed Word of God comes only through the Holy Spirit, and it comes through the Word of God. All right? So, Word of God. The Word of God is revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. Jesus says that over in John chapter 16. And he says, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to send the Spirit. And the Spirit is going to take of what I have and show it to you. Whatever I've told you, He'll reveal it to you. There are many things that I have to share with you, but you cannot bear them now. Because why couldn't they bear them now? Because at that time, the Holy Spirit, the Scripture says this, had not yet been given, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. See, so there were many things that you could not receive before God sends the Holy Spirit in place of Jesus. Now, I say all this and give you this diagram to show you how that you exist as a believer in Christ Jesus. You have a spirit which is communicative with God, communicates with God. God communicates with your spirit. Your soul is the part of you that thinks, that wills, that decides, that feels and reacts. And it's mostly, as I said before, based on your body's experiences in this life, in this world. But once you have received the Word of God, once you have received the truth of the gospel, you begin to be changed. The Holy Spirit begins to speak to you. Once you avail yourself of the Word of God, you begin to be changed, transformed, if you will allow. Then that's what part of the gospel letters or the epistles are talking about, is saying, be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. He tells you to meditate on these things day and night, Psalm chapter 1. Meditate on these things day and night. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight, blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate both, say it.
Day and night.
Say it again.
Day and night.
Say it again 365 times. Day and night, day and night, day and night. How about Sunday and night? Sunday and Sunday night. Isn't that enough? No, it's not enough. There's an echo over here. This is fun. Day and night. Meditating in His Word day and night. See, now let's go back, and we're going to go back and look at living in heaven. But again, remember, see, this body is where your experience is, and that's why you do most of the things that you do. That's why you live the way you live. That's why you respond the way you respond, is because of outward stimulus. He hit me, I hit him. Have you ever watched Little Kid? Anybody had children? More than one? In the same house at the same time? Hallelujah. Aren't they fun? Give me that back. That's great to have kids, isn't it? And then when they get older, they just decide what they're going to do. Impart to them the Word of God. And when they're old, now it doesn't say how old, when they're old, they will not depart from it. It's like that prodigal son. You know, he's 18, 21. I mean, he's just starting to get going. You know, hey, give me the portion of the money that goes to me. Well, you know, I thought I raised you. You know, and yet you just give it to me, I'm out of here. So he gives him the, you know, portion that goes to him. And when he runs out of gas, hallelujah, ends up in the pig pen, it's time to think. Any of you, have you been there? You had time to think, got in a place where you had time to think? Didn't have any money to go have fun anymore? In fact, it was not fun at all. Hallelujah. See, your experiences in this body have determined how you respond. Or maybe you were raised by morality. Your experiences in this body and soul can also be experiences of morality. You're raised by Christian people, good people, church people. But until it's fine to be raised by church people. It keeps you from killing people. Amen. Keeps you from robbing stores, more by and large. All right? See, raised by church people helps you out for the first few years of your life until you figure out that you're not really, this isn't really you. Now, some people figure that out, that this isn't really them, so they just start, you know, acting out, you know, like the rest of the world. Some people never figure it out, and they are bitter, angry, resentful inside, but outside they're the sweetest people you've ever known because they're moral. Because God likes moral, good people. And if you're not good, you're not moral, you're going to hell. Well, how many know that you don't get out of hell by being good? I said, you don't get out of hell by going good, being good. How many know you only get out of hell by trusting Jesus? I mean, you cannot be good. Why did Jesus have to come? I mean, he gave a law. Come on. Didn't anybody make it? No, not one. How many people made it? How many people made it with the law at their side? Did anybody make it to heaven? Huh? Jesus. Thank you. Who said Jesus? Amen. Jesus made it. Problem is, Jesus didn't have an earthly father like you do. Jesus didn't have the same hitch in his get-along that you do. You know, there is no way. Then why did God give the law? Hello? To expose your sin. The need for a Savior. The law was given for one purpose, Galatians says, to expose you, to show the need for the Savior. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, it's good preaching. Well, you know all this, don't you? Yes. Well, Peter says you're supposed to preach it even though you know it. Amen? It's good. See, I want to preach these things even though you know them until I'm dead. So that when I'm gone, you'll have them in remembrance. All right? So now again, so you've got these people who are who tend to be bad just from the beginning. Then you've got good people. But the problem is with being good, it saves you and takes care of you, keeps you from getting all kinds of diseases, keeps you from getting all kinds of trouble until you run into God. See, it's good to be taught to be good. It's good to be taught to do right and to be right, be righteous outwardly. It's helpful. It's helpful to the society. It's helpful to the church. You know, it kind of gets to keep the carpet cleaned and the pews, you know, dusted, and you know, it keeps everything done. Yeah, it's great to have good people in the church. But the problem is, you get people who inwardly are ravenous. They're angry. They're bitter on the inside. And eventually, they just disappear. They burn out. They run away. Because there is no life. There's no truth in them. They learned how to be good, but that's all they learned. They learned that God loves good people, but the problem is they can't be good. They can look good, they can act good, but how many know you're not good? You're not good. Only God is good. God is good all the time. You're not. Now again, you know, we know that, we even know this mentally, but it's a hard one to swallow emotionally. It's a hard one to swallow emotionally because we want to please God. We want to please God. Did you know what pleases God alone? Faith. Faith in the finished work. Faith in His finished work is what pleases God. This is how to live in heaven. Now, when I'm talking about living in heaven, I'm talking about living in heaven now. And let's look over at Ephesians chapter 1. We looked at it, first of all, last week. So Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with verse 3, says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Now, He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings, and we talked about that last time we were together, is that those spiritual blessings are the source of everything else, the source of every other blessing, the source of every physical, mental, the spiritual blessings are the first, because you've been born again. You have received from God life, life everlasting. We've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. How many have done that? How many of you're born again? You know that you are a member of the kingdom of God because you're filled with the Holy Spirit has come to dwell on the inside of you. See, you've received all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Well, to receive all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, that must be where you are. You are in the heavenly place. You are from that Spirit. Come here. Come with me. This Spirit is dwelling in heavenly places. Okay? My Spirit. Mine. My Spirit in heavenly places. So I have been translated out of the kingdom of this world, say out of this world, into His world, into the kingdom of His dear Son. So you have changed places. You went from here over to here. You've changed places. You've moved from one place to another. Out of the dark kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. So you're out of darkness in light. Now this is a transformation that has taken place. So what you want to do is give thanks and give praise to the Lord. You want to acknowledge this kingdom daily. You want to acknowledge this kingdom day after day after day. Remember what we said? We meditate upon these things how often? Day and night. And day and night. And day and night. Not Sunday and Sunday night. Every day. Amen? His mercies are new every morning. So, again, when you believe that you are attempting to please God, you attempt to typically do what is necessary. What is necessary to do to please someone. Because it's a burden to please somebody, isn't it? Isn't it a burden to have to please somebody? I mean, I'd rather please myself. Even the scripture talks about it. It says a guy who's married isn't busy pleasing God, he's busy pleasing his wife. And the woman who's married is not busy pleasing God, she's busy pleasing her husband. Boy, it must be easier to please God than you think. Amen? I said it must be easier to please God than you think. That wife and that husband, they're tough to please. You got to take the trash out, take care of the lawn, you know, all kinds of things, guys. You got to do all this stuff, make sure she's pleased, take care of her. You know, women, you got to... You know, I tell the story of my grandmother that she got so tired of cooking lunch for my granddad. We were talking to our neighbors last night. And she got so tired after 50-some-odd years of cooking lunch, she just sat down on the couch and there one morning, smoking her cigarette, drinking her cup of coffee, and just leaned over and checked out. She wasn't going to cook one more lunch for that guy. I think it's funny. You have to know you know your own family, right? You know your own family. I mean, she just checked out. Yeah, that's it. I'm done. I mean, the woman cooked lunch every day for 50 some odd years. And pretty much you got to please that guy. I hear these stories now from my neighbors that lived across the street. He would have the meals on wheels. He's 80, in his 80s. He would have he's in heaven now. It's okay. I can tell these stories. He doesn't mind. He would have the Meals on Wheels people come over. He wouldn't even learn how to cook lunch. He'd have Meals on Wheels come over. And then he'd try to get them in the house. You know, he'd try to get them in the house to sit down and talk. You know, because that's what he's used to, having them lunch and talking. Well, they're kind of backing out, you know. They learn to drop the thing off, ring the bell, and run. Is that how people are with you? Amen. It's good. These are fun days, living in this world, isn't it? Yeah, so you want to know that day and night, pleasing God is not a burden. I said pleasing God is not a burden. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Isn't that good that pleasing God is not a burden? How many know God's already pleased? In who? Jesus. Well, who are you in? Jesus. Amen? Now, he begins to transform you. He says to meditate upon that word day and night. And see, you'll be transformed. See, you know, God's joy is to see you receive everything that he has. That's his joy. You don't have an understanding of that. You have an understanding of religion. You have an understanding of, oh, God, got to please God today. Got to get up and pray. Got to get up and be good. Be nice. You know. That's your thought. That's your thought. God's already pleased. Let's just begin to worship him. Thank him. Have you ever had that kind of relationship where you just love to be with him? Just be in their presence because you know that they accept you exactly as you are. That's your Father. Your Father in heaven, he receives you and he loves you exactly as you are. And he loves you so much that he's going to change you. But he loves you exactly as you are. Let's read the Word. Let's look. We read, I'm going to read quickly over it because it's been a month ago since we read it to you. Unless you read it since. Blessed be the God, Father, God, say it again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestinated us, this is small print, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. So the Father has adopted us unto himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure which he has purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in him, in whom we also have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. Now let's read beginning with verse 12. That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Okay? Now you begin there. He says that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. He's talking about those who had first heard the word. Here is what happens, is becoming chosen in him, predestinated to the adoption of sons to fulfill and show forth the glory of heaven in the earth. And he says that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Okay, these are the first guys, the first fruits, the first people who trusted in the Lord. Now, verse 13 says, in whom you also trusted. So, the same as it is for us, it's the same for you. The same that it was for Paul and Peter and John and James is the same that it is for you. You're predestinated. You have been brought into the kingdom of God to demonstrate his glory. It's not just, apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers back in the olden times. It's for you now. This life, this Bible life, is for you right now. Amen? I said amen. That's good for one of us. Me and John, we'll go. I don't care what you think. See, amen is, even though I don't get it, it's the Word of God. See, you want to hear these things. You want to know that it's the Holy Spirit who's transforming you and changing you and bringing you into this new world, into this new life, even though you work 9 to 5. Even though I did that for umpteen years myself, And even though you are doing all the things that are in the world, you have this sphere of influence that God is using you to minister the Word of God. You are a demonstration of the gospel. When I teach young people to get married or counsel them getting married, we're talking about the fact that marriage is a demonstration of the kingdom of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Woman, man, together. Husband, wife, bride, groom. Demonstration of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not just, isn't that sweet? We're going to get married, have a wonderful life, live happily ever after. Nonsense. You're going to have a lot of trouble. You're going to bang into each other. How many know you really don't know that person until you marry them? Anybody been married as long as I have? Praise the Lord, it's true. You don't know Janet like I know Janet. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You got to have a big God to be married. Isn't that right, Nancy? Praise the Lord. Amen. Where's Keith? We'll get him. Yes. in whom you, verse 13, Ephesians 1:13, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth. Okay, remember, Spirit, where you heard the word of truth, you're born again. Born from above. Jesus said, you must be born from above. In whom you also trusted, after that you heard a word, the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, the good news of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed. You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest, remember what we mentioned it earlier today, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. That purchased possession will be purchased. It'll be paid up in full. You're going to receive the fullness of that Spirit in the day that Jesus comes again. But right now, you have the earnest of His inheritance, which is this seal of the Holy Spirit. You've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. Jesus said when He was standing amongst His disciples, He came in the upper room and stood among them after He was resurrected from the dead. And He says, receive ye the Holy Ghost. He said He breathed on them. And He said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. I believe they did. But then after that, when He was standing on the Mount of Olives, 40 days later, He said, don't go anywhere until you receive the promise of the Father. What was the promise of the Father? Remember in the upper room? He talked about the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He will lead you into all truth. He will show you all things. See, it's not just a matter of faith in the sacrifice and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ that brings you into maturity, but it's the baptism in the Holy Spirit and being sanctified through that Spirit. That is, getting all the sin, not all, but by and large, a lot of it, teaching you how to live according to the Spirit rather than according to the flesh. You remember, that's how you lived. Early in your life, you lived according to how your body felt, whatever thing your body experienced. Well, I don't like that. Boy, that burned me. That sprayed me in the face. I don't like that. You learned everything that you didn't like, so you learned to avoid it. But see, now you have input here on this side from the Word of God. You have input from the Word. You know, we'll just make a little Bible there. So you have input from the Word of God, which the Holy Spirit begins to reveal to you. The Holy Spirit will begin to reveal that Word of God to you. You may not understand everything. Just put it in. Just put it in. Amen? You may not get it right away. You may not have understanding right away. Put it in. Allow the Holy Spirit to work in and through you. Ephesians 1, verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints. So apparently you start off pretty good. You know, you might start off pretty good there, being born again. But how many know after a little while, you seem to get tired? Anybody like that? It's kind of like, you kind of almost get bored with the kingdom of heaven. Who could do that? How could that happen? If you're born again, aren't you just happy all the time? Joyful all the time? Peaceful all the time? Anybody want to say no? Hasn't been my experience. I've had experience like it's been terrible. What happened to my joy? What happened to my peace? What happened to my salvation? Has anybody had a Christian life like that? Yeah, everybody wants to be good and sweet, don't they? You know, tell how lovely it is. You know, well, you, Brother, you asked us to give for a testimony. Yeah, your testimony is by faith. We all know that. We all know how you feel about it. Huh? We all know that you have a rough day. We all know that Job had... Pastor Jim's been preaching on Job. Aren't you glad I'm not Pastor Jim? Hallelujah. He's been preaching on Job all year. How can you preach on Job for a year? That guy, he had it tough. He had it tough. And he couldn't even figure out what he did wrong. You know, his friends were trying to help him, weren't they? All his friends trying, well, brother, you just need to confess your sin. I don't see any. Come on, cough it up. I mean, yeah, chapter after chapter after chapter, you know, trying to find the guy's sins out. Hey, what was the guy's sin ultimately? Well, I better not tell. You know, you won't come for the last 3 months. Better not tell. The fact of the matter is that you can't figure out what your sins are. God's going to have to clean them out. He digs deep in the roots. He knows exactly what your sin is. But He just wants you to come to Him. He just wants you to come into His presence, to worship Him, to praise Him, to magnify Him. Is there trouble in your life? Is there trouble in this world? Yes. He wants you to rejoice in the midst of it. We've talked about it before over in 2 Corinthians 12, you know, the thorn in the flesh. Beauty of the thorn in the flesh is this, is not that God said, no, I'm not going to take it away, but He said something different. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. This is something I didn't know before. I thought getting healed was all there was. I thought getting blessed was the kingdom of God. But no, what God wants me to know is that His grace is actually sufficient for me. Not even meeting all my needs here and there. Not even getting healed over here and there. But He says His grace is sufficient for me. God wants me to understand and have a relationship with Him through His grace. That His grace is sufficient for me. That His strength is made perfect through my weakness. I am weak. I am weak through this flesh. I cannot perform. I cannot do ever what God wants me to do. He comes in and empowers and produces good works. God does the works. It may come out of my hands and feet, but it's God Himself who's doing the works. And your expectation has been, well, I just got to do these good works so I can please Him. Build up my crown. Make my heavenly crown good. Make it big. Put a few more jewels in it. Gold, silver, and precious stones. What God wants you to do is to worship Him, to praise Him, to thank Him, so that your sins show up. Go ahead and complain. Do you notice how Job complained? He did. He did not enjoy what was happening. Do all of you enjoy what's happening and been happening? Some of you got A, B, and C trouble. How many know it's not enjoyable? Hello. It's not enjoyable. God says, rejoice in the midst of it. Thank me. Praise me. Why? God is not some great megalomaniac that He requires praise just to have a good self-image. Huh? Man, that God, He's full of Himself. No. Praising Him is for your benefit. You're for your good. If you will praise Him, you will glorify Him. You will magnify Him. You will joy, glory in your salvation. You'll begin to be transformed. You'll begin to be changed into that same image from glory to glory. You will no longer be under your burden. As you praise Him, you'll be living in heaven. Because you're trying to get your troubles all out of the way. Are you always trying to get all your troubles gone? Let's get rid of the troubles. Let's get rid of our problems. Let's just worship Him. Let's just magnify the Lord. See, what we're doing is pulling you out of the idea that this world is something to be valued, that this world is something to be cherished. Well, I just want to make it better. I mean, we have all the seminars. We want to make this world better. Let's make this world, get a better marriage. Let's get a better this and better that. Let's make this world a better place. Here's what he wants to do. Paul says, verse 15, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you," here's his prayer, "the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened through that wisdom and revelation. That you may know," here's what he wants you to know, "what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power." This is where he lives. "And might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And he has put all things under his feet and gave to him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." So he's given you, his prayer for you is to fill you with this wisdom and this understanding of his presence, of his glory. And this day, day after day, his desire is to bring to you that wisdom and that understanding so that you are no longer dwelling in this world with a thought that it's all about this world. How many got bills? Bills. Got bills. Got house payments. Mortgage. Got all kinds of other things. Groceries to buy. Insurance to buy. All of these things are of this world. Do you live in this world? Yes. Remember what Jesus said. Remember over in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "Your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all of these things." Your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all of these things. Doesn't he? That is the fact that you, as an ambassador of the kingdom of God, have need of living in this world, everything that needs that's necessary for living in this. If you're an ambassador to a country, you would have the needs and necessities that your kingdom would provide for you to live in that country to serve the king, to serve the president. So he's making sure that you have all of these things. You have food, you have shelter, you have clothing. Your heavenly Father knows you have need of all these things. But he says this, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added to you." All of these things shall be added to you. Now again, the difference is between living a life for God on the earth, attempting to please him so that something good takes place when you get to heaven. What he's asking, what he's desiring, what the Lord is desiring for you to do is to live in joy, peace, and thanksgiving right now. Right now, without looking, without checking. Make sure that everything's okay. But to worship him and to praise him and to thank him and to give Him glory every moment of every day, even when you have messed up, even when others have messed up around you. See, living in heaven, and we all miss it, but I tell you, this is the greatest blessing, is to begin to live in heaven now. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 says, "For our conversation," that word conversation in the Greek means a manner of living. Our conversation is in heaven. Our manner of living is in heaven. Our manner of living has left the earth and gone to His kingdom. You're dwelling in the kingdom now from where you're sitting. Right there. From where you go on Monday morning. Whatever you do. Whether it's kids to school, whether it's work, you're living in heaven. You're waking up in heaven as much on Monday morning as you are on Sunday morning. Or if you choose on Saturday morning, if you know you have a bent toward the keeping the Sabbath. Every day is the Sabbath. Listen, living in the kingdom of heaven, living in the kingdom of heaven has to do with, "I will say of the Lord, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge." Talk this, don't think it. Amen? Listen to me. Talk this, don't think it. Talk it to each other, don't think it. See, if you wait, you do this once a week, and you'll forget, and you'll be so far down, you just need somebody to pump you up when you get here. Amen? If you're living in heaven 6 days a week, 7 days a week, by the words of your mouth. I didn't say you had to feel it. Huh? Amen? I didn't say you had to feel like it. Just obey. Just obey. "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge." Do you say it? Do you say it? "I cried unto the Lord with my voice." It's important for you to speak. It's important for you to pray without ceasing. Pray. Now, what does pray without ceasing mean? Pray without ceasing doesn't mean close your eyes when you're driving your car. Pray without ceasing means pray with your eyes open. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord God. It means praying in other tongues. "Well, I don't do that." Well, you can. It's okay. You can. You can. God will be with you. Baptizing you with the Holy Spirit. This is the truth. This is how God desires to transform you, through His Word, through His Spirit, through the words of your own mouth, acknowledging the truth, acknowledging the kingdom, that you live in the kingdom. You live in the kingdom now. Look at the second chapter. "And you hath He quickened." Remember, He raised Jesus from the dead? Well, now He's raised you from the dead. "Who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in the time past," let's say past, "in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Among whom also we all had our conversation." Oh, there it is. We all had our conversation, our lives, our manner of living, "in time past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind." Fulfilling the desires of the mind. Hey, what I want to do. "And we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, He has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And he has raised us up together, here it is, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. So he's raised you up and caused you to sit together with him in heavenly places. Do you know you're seated with him in heavenly places right now? Do you know you're seated together with Christ Jesus in heavenly places right now? Boy, I thought I was just here on this pew with these other people. God bless them. Or if you know them real well, it's these other people that you're sitting way down the other end of the pew from. Amen? Hallelujah. You see, we got a lot of people spread out around here. He's got you seated together with Christ Jesus in heavenly places. You are seated with him. You are with him there already. Remember, you've transformed from one place to the other. You now live in that kingdom. You now live in that kingdom. And so the words of your mouth are to rejoice and to give praise and to thank him and to praise him and to glorify him and to know that he is working this thing in you. He's transforming you daily by his word, daily by his spirit. No longer are you living according to the flesh as your body told you to do, as your mind, will, and emotions told you to do, to get back at so-and-so, or to retaliate, or to live this life in a manner which would be a blessing to you. But rather, he has given you life, and now he is, as you are praising him, glorifying him, he is transforming and changing you. This gospel is about the fact that you didn't have to do it. He is doing it. You didn't have to perform it. He is performing it. And finally, he says, we are his workmanship. His workmanship. You're the pot. You're the clay that was formed. You're the clay that is being formed. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. So he's already before ordained that you should walk in them. Remember earlier in that same in chapter 1, he said, you having been chosen, you received him, therefore, as by faith, then you received him. He has already predestined you to be conformed to the image of his Son. Therefore, you are his continuous workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works that he has before ordained, already, before, predestined, that you should walk in them. He's already designed it. He's already set it in place. He's already fixed it. I tell you, today, begin to worship, begin to praise, Monday through Friday. Morning, noon, and night. We talked about it a couple weeks ago. 10, 2, and 4, morning, noon, and night. You're just like a Dr. Pepper. Just worshiping him, praising him. Morning, noon, and night. 10, 2, and 4. Just daily. Giving praise, giving thanks, giving glory and honor to his name. This is your life. Your life is, and you're being transformed in that outward man. That is, the unrenewed mind, part of you that had been previously conformed to this world is now being transformed into his image. But it's as you are praising him and worshiping him and thanking him, not because you're feeling bad about what you did and that you'd never performed it quite up to snuff. You just didn't do it. You didn't get it done. Amen? So many people live their entire life, they never got it done. They never got it done. Never pleased God. You know, God, just not happy with me. Hey, God loves you. But he wants you to quit working so hard at being good. Well, that doesn't sound like that's right at all. No, it is right. If anybody could have done it, it would have been done certainly by somebody better than you. I mean, if anybody could have done it, maybe Abraham could have done it. He didn't have a law to deal with. Maybe Moses. Moses knew God. You know what? Moses couldn't even keep the law. Did you know Moses couldn't keep his own law? Because it wasn't his law, it was God's. Moses did not keep the law. The guy hit the rock twice. Bang, bang. You remember? The guy was mad at the rock. The guy was mad at God, so he hit the rock twice. God said, oh, that's it. No promised land for you. He couldn't do it. Moses, he's the good guy. He wrote most of the Old Testament, or a lot of it. What did you do? I said, what did you do? Yeah, praise the Lord. I love you. That's what God is saying to you this morning. I love you. You're in heaven. Act like you live here. Do a little jig. Do a little happy dance. Act like you live in heaven. Amen? Amen. I say, okay, everybody say amen just for me. Amen. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Act like you live in heaven. Just act like it. Just pretend. I said, just pretend. It'd be great if you just pretend. The fact is that you do. You do. Now, I know you got problem and trouble in your outward life. I know that. So do I. But I've chosen, even though I complained and yelled and got mad 5 minutes ago, I've chosen to repent and say, Father, I thank you that you love me. And I thank you that all things are working together for my good. And even everything that's looking bad, I don't care. I thank you that you love me. You're my God. You're my joy. You're my peace. You died for me. You, God the Father, gave everything for me. And I'm going to rejoice. And I'm going to say it out of my mouth. I'm going to give him praise. Hallelujah. Boy, the same thing keeps happening day after day. Hallelujah. Okay, I'm going to praise you just one more time, God. Then I'm giving up. No! Listen to me. Don't ever give up. Don't ever give up praising. Don't ever give up thanking him. Because what's happening is, I don't care whether or not your trouble ever gets relieved or not, you're going to be relieved because of your joy. You're going to be relieved because of your praise. Well, that just sounds crazy. I mean, I'm just tired. Tired of praising. No. Jesus said, God said, my grace is sufficient for you. Jesus said that to Paul. My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Paul said something really dumb. He said, therefore I will rejoice in my infirmities. That the power of Christ may rest upon me. I will therefore rejoice in take joy in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. In other words, this body and this life is not going to ruin my joy. Does that make sense? I mean, many of you have a pretty nasty life. Well, that's a terrible thing for a pastor to say. No, I'm just saying what you're saying. It's a pretty nasty life. Wish it was over. We've got to fix it. Begin to praise him in the middle of it. Begin to praise God in the midst of it. Be absolutely outrageous in your praise and in your thanks. Had a gal who told me, there's no way I can do that. And she began to do that. I mean, she had lousy circumstances. And she come running down the aisle one day. And she said, Pastor, I want you to know, I did what you said. I began to praise God. And I'm happy. Nothing's changed, but I'm happy. Nothing's changed, but I know that God loves me. Nothing has changed. But the joy of the Lord is my strength. His strength is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, rejoice. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Read about the thorn in the flesh. Read about Paul's response to it. All right? I encourage you to do that. Let's live in heaven. Amen? Let's live in heaven. Let's live in heaven. You tired of living in the earth? Well, don't commit suicide. Just change your mind. You know what change your mind's called? Repent. It's called repent. Repent means that's what it means. Turn around, go the other way. If it ain't working, turn around, go the other way. Try what God said. Praise me. Rejoice. Hallelujah. God is good, isn't he? God is good all the time. Hallelujah. Let's all stand together. With my hands lifted up and my mouth filled with praise, with a heart of thanksgiving, I will bless thee, O Lord. Let's bless him. With my hands lifted up and my mouth filled with praise, with a heart of thanksgiving, I will bless thee, O Lord. I will bless thee, O Lord. I will bless thee, O Lord. With a heart of thanksgiving, I will bless thee, O Lord. Father, we praise you and thank you that you have just given us life. You've given us life, and we thank you, Lord God, that you're causing us to live and to walk in heaven by rejoicing and giving praise to you. Father, daily coming into your presence to magnify and worship the Lord, to know that our troubles are not troubling. Our troubles are nothing. But what you have done is to give us life. And we walk in it. And Father, then as we walk in it, we demonstrate then your glory. And people look and say, how can you live like that and still be joyful? How can you live? How can you have such joy? It's because I know my God. It's because I know my God that he loves me. So we give you praise and thanksgiving, O Lord God, to transform us from in our souls, from despair to joy. Because you alone are the one who can do it. We can't do it right. We can't fix it up. But we know, Lord God, that you have promised and you have adopted us as sons and daughters. And that we are seated together with you in heavenly places, and we live there and we dwell there, and we view the earth from there. We view the earth from that position that we're with Jesus even now. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen.